Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on
what's
the trees
up, what's
are
up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich with you. And, of course, more disappointment, more news. But really the same, because, again, we don't care about the news. All we care about is whether or not Janet Yellen got up on the right or the wrong side of the bed. Because, again, it's an amazing feat when we as a nation are under the spell and the power of one person. It is amazing that when you go back and to the Greenspan days, and, you know, again, I talked about this earlier this week about the how they used to handicap his folder, whether it was stuff with papers or not stuff with papers. But at the end of the day, what it really has to be about is, how are we going to improve the economy? How are we going to put people back to work at reasonable paying jobs where they can pay reasonable monies? Because what we haven't noticed, what nobody's talking about now, is the rent bubble. Okay? You know, rents are at all-time record highs. Isn't it amazing? Oh, wait, let's see. Let's go back, turn the clock back. Oh, housing was at all-time record highs. Well, now rent is at all-time record highs. Everybody is pouring their money into rental properties because nobody can afford to buy a house. Now, you will hear the pundits as they cheerlead on TV about how great housing numbers are and how great construction is. But all we are building is rental properties. Even in my neighborhood, okay, which is traditionally homeowners, they have now built three deluxe rental properties. Okay, and if you don't think that's not the signal of a top, well, think again. Remember, in any kind of market, whether it be equities, whether it be whatever, housing, rental, when everybody's doing it and everybody's talking about it, that means that the end is near. Now, it doesn't mean it's over tomorrow, but you can bet that we're within a couple of months or so of the rent bubble bursting. Asset bubbles, they always burst because too many people get in at the end because they look at it as easy money. Now, I'm here to tell you that there is nothing, no such thing as easy money. Easy money is not there unless you inherit it. And even that is not always so easy. Sometimes you have to work for that. Sometimes you have to work harder for that than anything else. But really what I'm saying is that when everybody knows that it can no longer go lower and it can only go up, that is typically the sign that the end is near. And I am predicting the end is near in rental property. And not that they're not going to rent out, but the prices that they're getting. You know, if we just go back a few years, we don't have to go back long. We can just go back 6 years. The housing bubble, housing prices would never come down. The euro currency was $1.60. It was never coming down. We had soybeans trading at $20, corn trading at $9, wheat trading at $12 or $13. And, of course, I said, asset bubble. Asset bubble. Now, again, I can't tell you when it's going to pop. I don't know. Okay, but what I do know is that they always pop. This is not a new situation. This is not something that has never happened before. It happened with the internet bubble. It happened with the interest rate bubble. It happens everywhere. Because again, when you run, now these are not Ponzi schemes, but they're like Ponzi schemes because you keep bringing people in. You keep bringing in new money to support the old debt. And you know that you can keep getting more prices. It was like people that were flipping houses like they were trading stocks. Real estate is not supposed to be that liquid. So now, where are we? Well, we had, you know, soybeans 20, now 8. Wheat 14, 13, now 5. Corn 9, now 3. Okay? Now, we had hogs a year ago or 2 years ago. You know, I get time flies, but, you know, well over $1, $100. And now down in the 60s. Okay? And then just recently, we had cattle, live cattle at, you know, 170, 165, feeder cattle 230. Well, where are we now? 170 and 130. So again, asset bubbles don't change. They just change the product in which they become a bubble in. And again, I'm not here to create fear. I am not here to tell you that they're bad investments. I'm here to tell you that eventually things reach their top or their bottom, and it doesn't really matter. And when you learn to recognize when something is reaching a top or a bottom, it doesn't mean you'll be able to get out or benefit immediately from that, because tops, like bottoms, take time to form. But what it does mean is that you can at least save yourself the anguish of losing money when bubbles do show up. Because, again, nobody will admit that our economy is an asset bubble. And it's hard to imagine that we are in an asset bubble because the stock market is so high and the economy is so shit, so disgusting, okay, and so bad. But this is an asset bubble like any other bubble, okay? And again, I don't know when, I have no idea when it's going to pop. But I can tell you with 100% degree of certainty that soon it will, but soon is a relative term. So let's not forget what it is we do. Let's not forget that guarding against danger is sometimes better than trying to benefit something that would create that danger is more important, because at the end of the day, it's about protecting those assets that you have and you've accumulated, and they can't always grow them. Sometimes not losing or not having them go down is better than trying to find a way to make them go higher. And that's why we've been on the band train of buying commodities, because we believe that they're undervalued now, and selling the things that we believe that are overvalued. Because again, it's not going to be tomorrow. It could be, but I doubt it. But what we do know for sure is that time will cure it out. So if you are in a position of investing money, and again, this is not money you're going to need tomorrow. This is money you can afford to not have for an extended period of time. Then those are the kind of places you want to go into. Because what we hate here at the Bubba Show is when our friends are forced to sell at the bottom. And of course, that is what creates bottoms, is when people, the average guys, are forced to liquidate because they've been overinvested. They've borrowed too much on margin for whatever reason. And that's my tip of the day for my friends here at the Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by here for a break. I'll be right back, but make sure you catch The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm on demand. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back. When love runs high in this time. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, I love to share interviews and things that I do with you, because when I get to be a talking head, I get to spit it the way I see it. And nobody can stop me from putting out what my actual opinion is. And of course, on Tuesdays, I'm always on with Michael Hainsworth and BNN in Canada. And I wanted to share my spot with you of what I had to say to Michael last week. So let's go to Michael Hainsworth at BNN in Canada, and let's hear, let's wind up Bubba and let him go. Here we go.
More on the day's market action. We're taking you to Chicago to speak with the chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com, Todd Horowitz. It must be Tuesday. Good to see you again.
Hi, Michael.
What do you make of this China syndrome? What's new here that we didn't know already?
I think that we're looking for reasons so that people, when they decide that they want to sell, they're going to blame it on China. Look, China hasn't changed. I've been doing this for 36 years, and they were talking about China then. So nothing has really changed. Yeah, they're under a little bit of heat now because they've come more to the public. But the bottom line is, you never really know if the numbers that you're getting from China are real anyways. So they're lowering their currency to try to create money. It's the same story. Nothing changes. We're seeing a market that really has to sell off, and you don't have to go far. All we have to do is go to the Federal Reserve. We can find out why our markets are going lower, because everybody's now disappointed that the Fed is not going to be able to raise rates here.
You say we don't have to go far, but you figure the S&P 500 is going to land at 1580. Isn't that an 18% sell-off from here?
Yeah, I mean, but it's not going to go there tomorrow, Michael. Look, I think that we're going to be in a prolonged downtrend here now, and I think that every rally that you see coming out is an opportunity to sell and take advantage of the short side of the market. You know, to make money in the market, you want to be able to trade, or at least be on both sides of the market, or at least hedge yourself if you want to keep your long-term portfolio. But at the end of the day, you know, we have a lot of trouble in this country alone, not to mention the global economy. So we're going to see some selling pressure. This time is not different. There is nothing new under the sun that's going to say, well, this market will be better. The Fed has created, with their monetary policy, an interest rate environment of zero, which the only way that companies are growing today is by interest, by buying back their stock or mergers and acquisitions and putting that cash in their balance sheet that they can get for zero. The real truth of the matter is, real growth in this country is non-existent. We're not seeing this, and we keep hearing about the inflation. There's not enough inflation. You know, I've been to the grocery store. I don't know. I'm paying a lot more for groceries today than I was paying a while ago. Oh, but it's X food and energy. We don't have to worry about that. But you can buy a computer that you buy every 10 years cheaper. And, you know, we look at all the facts that they want to put into play here, which are all incorrect, which is why I will continue to say that the Fed is lost and they have no idea where they're going next. That's why we won't see rates rising in 2015.
Stock story of the day, of course, has to be Volkswagen and that emissions scandal dragged down the Detroit car companies as well. Substantial sell-offs for Ford, GM, and Fiat Chrysler. Would you buy any of those automakers on this weakness?
I think you can look at them. I mean, I'm not a big player in that space. Those stocks, in my eyes, they don't pay a big enough dividend, and they don't have enough volatility in the stock for me to play them. Now, I have no problem with Ford. I think Ford came through the first crash. Ford will be around. GM had to go bankrupt. You know, Government Motors. I think they're all fine. I mean, I don't particularly play in that space because, again, there's not enough action or enough volatility for me, and they don't pay a big enough dividend, so I don't even want to put it in my long-term trading account because I'm always long. I always own stocks in my long-term trading. But I think that, you know, the Volkswagen story is interesting, and I think it did create some pressure. And don't be surprised. Now, Ford and Fiat have come and said that they didn't do anything like that. But don't be surprised if there's some others that it does happen that they were doing that, because, look, everybody's trying to cut corners, and they got caught. You know, you look at any of these big stories, they got caught. If they didn't get caught, we would never heard about it.
Okay, so if the yield on the automakers isn't enough to get you out of bed in the morning, what about the catalytic converters? I know in the past you've been a fan of silver.
I love silver. I think silver is one heck of a value down here. Look, I think that you look at silver from two points. If you look at it from the precious metal standpoint or the currency standpoint, it's very cheap. It's the relationship to gold to silver is, I think, one of the lowest it's ever been. I'm not a big believer in gold or silver as a currency, but if you believe it's a currency, you're going to need a smaller denomination, so it becomes there. And now, if we're ever going to have a better economy, which I guarantee that we will, just like I know we're going to sell off, I know the economy is going to get better again someday, then silver as an industrial metal also has value. It really is very perplexing
that we haven't seen silver perform better here, because if the economy is doing so well, then we know silver is used in a lot of parts of industrial and manufacturing. Why isn't silver acting better? So it's a big story, but I do like silver. I think that I own SLV and SIVR. I think that they're great ways to play it, as well as physical silver.
Todd, always great getting your take. Good to have you with us.
Michael, thank.
And of course, that was me on BNN. And of course, you hear the constant theme, right? I am a player in that market of silver because I believe in it. And I think that it's something that you can certainly look for. And I think at these prices, now, yeah, could we go lower? Absolutely. There is no reason to believe that we will not go lower. I don't say that there isn't any downside risk. What I say is that most likely, more likely than not, is, you know, you've seen somewhere near the low. And again, I would not empty my gun or take all my bullets and buy silver down here. But I think that at the end of the day, that you're probably making a pretty wise investment if you look at silver down here and take a small position, knowing that you might have to buy more at lower prices to kind of average your cost in. But again, it's not something that's going to take off tomorrow. I don't think that we're going to be running. I mean, I've liked gold, you know, since it hit the 1070 level. Again, I'm a guy that likes to buy what I think is a value. And I think that value is when stocks, but more the commodities, because stocks, they do have other issues that have to be dealt with, like scandals and things like that. Now, again, the commodity markets, I mean, the commodity is the commodity. It's mined, grown, drilled, whatever, but it's there. Versus, I don't have to worry about the CEO having an affair and causing my company great grief. I don't have to worry about a guy stepping down when I'm trading in the actual physical commodity space. And I think that's also important when you start to look around at the ETF space. You know, there is not really great ETFs on a lot of the commodity space. Gold's got a great one, GLD and SGO, from our friends at ETF Securities. Silver's got a great one, which is SIVR from, again, our friends at ETF Securities. But the rest, the grain space, doesn't have a great representation. Certainly the meats don't have a great representation because they don't know how to factor in the different roles and the contangos and the backwardations in these other ones. So you've seen like DBA, which is a grain or a commodity one, but it does not account for it. And the consumer, us, typically get screwed more than we get benefit from those. And oil, again, I haven't seen a great oil ETF or natural gas. There's some good representations, but you know, when you get in these leveraged animals, they're just not very good. So, you know, again, you want to be very careful at how you choose to invest in these spaces, and just buying an ETF that says it represents the product. Make sure you look at the inside of it and how their expense structure works and how they accommodate for what we call the rollover and how they accommodate to hold the money. And there's a lot of things that need to be looked in before you just jump in to the ETF space. You know, obviously the spiders, the diamonds, the Qs, the Russell, IWM, and gold, those are pure. They follow track for track because they have an index to follow under. But the others are not as pure, and that's why you have to be more careful as you try to learn and understand the structure in which they use, so that you know that you're not getting cheated out of money. Because again, as we know, when there's money available and people know how to take advantage of it, they are never giving it to us. They are looking to put it in their own pocket, which is an unfortunate thing, because there is enough for everybody instead of getting scammed and stolen from and some of these other things. And we'll talk about that at some point. But again, really what it comes down to is, you know, look at something that has a direct correlation, a representation to exactly what is going on in that particular market when you're looking into the commodity space. Because if not, you'll find yourself trapped in a very unhappy camper at the end of the day. Anyways, make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. A lot of great articles. We continue to put them up there. We are, again, well ahead of the curve. I would say probably 6 to 8 months ahead. We're writing about things that they're just talking about now. We were writing about China last year, all the problems that they have, and of course, you're just hearing them now. But this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Hey y'all, Scott here. So you made a little bit of money in this horrid economy only to find that the Fed has more or less outlawed saving. So into the treacherous waters of the stock market bubble you go. But how to make a little money without too much risk of losing it all? Check out WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager who opens a very real window into his main account, updating his subscribers on the facts of and the reasoning behind all his market moves. Follow along on paper or with real money and see what happens at WallStreetWindow.com.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And of course, never at a loss for words and never at a loss to bash the Federal Reserve, because again, I think they deserve bashing. And of course, as we mentioned earlier in the week about John Boehner stepping down and doing his thing. But of course, it always comes back to the Fed and Yellen. And of course, on Friday, I was fortunate enough to be on CNBC Worldwide the morning after, as the futures were flying and the markets were going crazy early. And of course, I said, probably didn't look too good, but let's go to CNBC Worldwide and listen to what I had to say Friday morning at 4 a.m.
Did the Yellen speech move the needle, or did it not, when it comes to rate hike expectations?
Good morning. I think that it did move the needle. I think the street is now ready for higher rates. I think last week's decision not to raise rates was more of a bad sign and more negative to the market, because I think we finally realized that these low rates, the zero policy, is really not healthy for the overall economy and is creating more problems than it's actually worth now, and that the only way we can actually grow is by raising rates, and that will stimulate the economy more than anything else.
Todd, we've seen an extraordinary week in the auto sector here in Europe, of course, leading markets down sharply, although we're bouncing back today. Does that create opportunities for the US auto stocks? Would you be looking at them right now?
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of the U.S. auto sector. They really just don't have enough volatility or pay a big enough yield. But yeah, it's all those things always create opportunities. Remember, anytime you see a major move in companies that are good and solid, and if it's a major move to the downside, those are the opportunities that you want to look for to step in and buy those, because again, they're going to fix those problems and they're going to get through it with no problem. You know, Volkswagen's going to have a fine. They're going to have to pay back. But at the end of the day, Volkswagen is not going out of business, nor are any of the other U.S. automakers at this moment.
Todd, I love talking about dislocations in global markets, not just in equities. What exactly is a 210 on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note telling us right now that stocks are not?
Well, I think what we've seen for quite a while here with the bond market is the bond markets have been insisting that they raise rates. They have been going counter what's been going on in the market. You've seen them start to push the markets up. And if you've been watching the bond futures, they've been telling us that, hey, we want rates to go higher. We don't care. And the one difference is the fixed income market, the treasury markets, are the biggest markets in the world by many times over. So they do have a little bit of muscle, and they've been trying to muscle the Fed to say, hey, get off your easier, you know what, and raise these rates, because that's the only way that this economy can really survive. So I think that's what we're looking at. I don't really believe that they're going to be able to raise rates, and I think this is more talk myself, and I think that eventually you'll come out and you'll see this, say, well, you know, we're not seeing growth, we're not seeing this, and of course we'll say no interest rate raise. In fact, I for sure don't see an interest rate rise in 2015.
And of course, that's what I've said, you know, all along, that there's not going to be an interest rate rise. And of course, I believe that that's the case. I don't believe that they can. I don't believe that they have the guts. I, again, will call them spineless jellyfish that don't care and will not be raising rates. I think a rate increase is needed. But again, I just wanted to reshare with you what I had said the morning of the Fed. And I think that it's fun. I was on, obviously, co-hosting with Maria. So let's go to Maria now.
2006. Todd, you're not expecting the Fed to raise. You don't think they should?
Well, I don't think they will. I don't think they have enough spine to do that. I really think that they're weak.
I believe they should, but they won't.
They should raise a long time ago. The only way we're going to get out of the problems that we have right now is to raise rates, because raising rates will actually create growth, because what we've really done with their policy is eliminate the entrepreneur. We've eliminated the ability for somebody to go out and borrow money, because the mirage you see of rates, everybody says mortgages. Why aren't we selling more homes? Because the people that want to buy them can't get a mortgage, because the banks won't free up liquidity. The banks are too happy putting their money back with the full faith and credit of the United States government. Because if I could borrow at zero, even back to 2.75 or 2.5 to the government and get guaranteed, or give it to me for 3.75, who am I going to give it to?
How does that lending get any easier with higher rates?
Because what happens is the spread that banks want to make on their dollars, okay, the higher the base rate gets, the bigger the spread gets in between. That then frees up Tier 1 capital that they want to lend out, because they're making more money. On a one-point spread from what they can get and what they're going to put out, it's not big enough. But they get 3 to 4 points. They love the loan money, which is why you see a lot of credit card debt, because they love the credit cards, because you're paying usury rates on a lot of them.
Right. Joe, what do you think?
Well, look, Carl Icahn, billionaire investor. I spoke to him
yesterday, right?
That's right, yesterday. And he is also in your camp. He says rates must go up. He said that, you know, this big asset bubble has been built and the rates just need to go. But he also said, look, if they don't raise today, then they'll just do it again in a couple of months or in December. So then you have another camp, right? Lloyd Blankfein of Goldman Sachs telling the Wall Street Journal he wouldn't go.
Right. Because the economy is too weak.
Because he wants $20 oil. He thinks that the oil's going to $20.
They said $20 oil at Goldman. That's absolutely right. But I mean, how big of a deal is a quarter point rise, right? I mean, if it's 25 basis points, is that really going to move the needle in terms of putting a crimp into an economy that's just gaining traction, you think?
It seems, from the analysts I've talked to, especially those who are looking at tech and looking at housing and stuff like that, it seems like this would just, it's all psychological at this point. Because if it's about bracing for what is definitely going to happen or what might happen.
Right.
And that's really, the psychology of the Fed right now is really hard to tell, because the numbers, a lot of the data has been relatively weak.
I guess, you know, I don't know how you feel like the markets will react, but let's say the Fed doesn't raise today. Do the markets view that as, wow, the economy is a lot worse off than I thought, and we get a big sell-off?
I think eventually they turn that over, but I think what you saw the last couple of days, and if you've been watching the last couple of days, we have some real interesting market action. The markets have been rallying very large. We've had the biggest two-day gain in 6 weeks or 2 months. The bond market has been getting, the bond futures have been getting crushed, pushing up yields higher in the bond market. So the equity market is saying the Fed is going to do nothing. The bond market is saying they're going to raise, and at one point, there's going to be a winner today. The bell's going to go off and there's going to be a winner. The big scheme, a quarter point means nothing. It's $35 a month on a mortgage.
Right.
I mean, it's,
you're the second person to say that here.
Yeah, somebody said it. Yeah.
It means nothing. It's a total waste, and we spend so much time and emotion trying to deal with the Fed. The Fed is lost. Okay, all the central banks, I think they're almost like in cahoots with each other. They take turns, you know, bringing down their currency. They got to work around the world, but at the end of the day, they're all kind of lost and not doing what needs to be done to really improve everybody's economy. We like to manipulate. They're day trading the stock market. Are you kidding me? We're going to continue? Janet Yellen's going to look at the tape today. Well, the market's down. We better not raise.
I don't know about that, Todd. Come on.
They are day trading the market. Did Ben Bernanke not come out in May of 2013 and say, we're going to raise rates, and 2 days later we had the taper tantrum, and all of a sudden you had every Fed governor coming out saying, oh no, we're not going to raise rates.
Yeah.
But the elephant in the room, as we've discussed all week, Maria, is the situation in China and the global economic situation with all of our trade partners that you've reported on. What will happen? What is the psychology of the Fed as it looks outward to the global economy?
Absolutely. All right, we'll be talking about that all day. I will be anchoring a special report, full coverage and analysis of the Federal Reserve decision. Everybody's with me today. Lou Dobbs, Neil Cavuto, Stuart Varney.
And Maria did do a great job on that special report, and I enjoyed it, but she is really top-notch at what she does. And again, one of the things I love about Maria is she tells it like it is as well. Now, she lets her guests, but she will fight back or bite back at any given time because, again, she's got her beliefs, and you know, as a actual person that's been in the markets for as many years as she has and wields the power that she wields, she can go ahead and put out her beliefs. And her and I were on the same page that these lower interest rates are now, at some point, the Fed will realize that that's keeping rates lower is not good news for the stock market, but actually bad news for the market because, again, what we do find out is that overall it becomes a bigger problem. Okay. And when we create more problems, that creates pressure. That creates the willingness to sell, which creates, again, as we go back to our favorite words, asset bubble. And just remember what the first three letters are, because then we know who created the bubble. Or the asset bubble. And of course, that's another three-letter word. The Fed created the asset bubble. And I think the Fed is... anyways, so as we look at the overall system, again, we know it's broken. I say it all the time. I got a little pushback from Maria, but I think at the end, she did actually agree with me as well. And, you know, again, you're looking at a problem that is been created, and at some point it will clear itself up. And of course, unfortunately, the only way this will clear up will be by another debacle, another collapse, the assets getting hammered. And the sadness of that is you know, you gotta deal with what you gotta deal with, and as they say in cards, play the hand that you're dealt, because that's the only ones you got. So you got to play it the way it is. And of course, that's why we talk about hedging on a regular basis, because we're going to be prepared for the next market collapse. And we want you to be prepared as well. And all you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com or email me at Bubba@TheBubbaShow.org, and I will help you out. We have a new set coming out, a new webinar series, and we detail an explanation how to do that and how to protect yourself from the impending market sell-off. And again, it's not great fear, because we want you to benefit. If the market keeps going up, you're going to make money while you're defending the downside. And that is the beauty of when you have people that understand how to use the model to put yourself in that best position to be a benefit. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. See you right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And as we start to wrap up, and I want to remind everybody a couple of things. Number one, get The Bubba Show on demand at libertytalk.fm. You can listen anytime you want. Be one of the hundreds of thousands of people that listen to the show each and every month, as well as those of you listening live. Any of the episodes that you really truly enjoyed, you can download them and listen to them, and you can hear me rant whenever you want. Also, make sure you go on your Android or your iPhone and get the Bubba Show app so you can listen to me live from anywhere. As we continue to grow the show and continue to grow into the finance world after all being in here for 36 years, I do have some pretty good things to say, and I want to make sure that you are the beneficiary of what is going on and understanding how markets functions, how to deal with them, and what is always the best course of action. But of course, I also like to share my opinions with others, and of course, Kitco Metals. They have just recently invited us to do a webinar, which we have done, about how do you trade precious metals and protect the downside. So how do you get long gold when having very little risk, but be able to benefit from the yield if it goes straight up? A lot of good things happening there. And of course, we have a lot of respect for Kitco. And as you know or don't know, every week I do a spot for Kitco. And here's last week's spot, but you'll hear it's pretty much the common theme of what I've talked about all week. But let me share with Daniela Clambone and myself talking about what's going on in the world.
Gold appeared to regain safe haven status post-Fed. However, this Tuesday, the metal seems to be following the raw commodity sector to the downside as the U.S. dollar index moves higher. Joining us today from the CME is Todd Baba Horowitz. Thanks so much for being with us on Kitco News.
And Danielle, it's always a great honor to be on with you.
Well, let's start, as always, looking at gold. And, you know, it seemed like it was getting a boost last week, but now the metal seems to be under pressure. What's happening here on the gold front, Todd?
I think actually gold looks pretty good here. I think, you know, yesterday we had a very weak dollar, strong euro currency, and today it's the opposite. But at the end of the day, I think gold found a nice level at about 1,100, and we popped up right to 1,140, which is a pretty good level if you're a trader that you would say, you know what, maybe I want to take some profit here. And I think really what you're seeing here is more of a profit-taking mentality than I'm getting out and I'm scared mentality. I think you'll see some more buyers step in again. I think if we can hold probably 1,120, which is right about where we are, I think it's a great level to start buying again. I think gold itself looks terrific. I think it's probably going to make its next move. If it can get through 1140, it'll go to 1170. But again, I think overall, longer term, I think gold looks like it's going to start to reverse the trend. I think it's starting to technically look really good here, and I would definitely love to be a buyer, and I think that this is just a little natural selling, not concerning at all to me.
Okay, what about the U.S. dollar, Bubba? This morning, a SocGen report said the currency has lost its safe haven currency status and has been acting out of the ordinary for the past 2 months. What's your take on the U.S. dollar?
Well, first of all, the SocGen should go reread the reports because I think they're out of their mind. But the reserve currency status has not changed. The U.S. dollar is still the fear trade. When there is fear in the real economy, and when there's money that really has to go somewhere, they're buying U.S. dollars. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that this morning. You know, yesterday, the market was higher. But what we're seeing is a major churn right here. And the digestion of what the Fed said last week is still resonating through Wall Street, where I think now you're going to see that bad news is actually going to be bad news, and for them to continue to cover it up. So I think the dollar itself looks to gain some strength here. I think as you look at the dollar index, 94 to 96 has been a pretty solid level. We get above 96, it looks like we'll probably go back to the buck.
All right, well, we talked gold, we talked the dollar. Let's complete this trifecta with silver. Last time we spoke, you were liking it more than gold. Are you sticking to it?
That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I love silver. I think it's in a really precarious position here. I think it has a great chance to make a very big rally. I think the risk is really minimal here, and I think you want to be buying silver at these levels because for some reason they're holding it under pressure. And if we see ASIM growth and some other fear, silver's got a manufacturing quality as well as a precious metal status. So I think that silver is a terrific buyer. I think it's still well undervalued in compared to the rest of the market. And I think if you buy it, you put it away and hold it, I think you'll be a very happy camper down the road.
All right, Bubba, with the time we have left, you know I have to ask you about the Fed. Are you still expecting a rate hike for 2015?
I have never expected a rate hike for 2015. I think it'll be lucky now if we see one in 2016. I am expecting a QE4, though, because I believe the Fed has lost their way. I believe they have no clue what to do. And I think the best news for them was that China and Greece news that allowed them to continue to push the can down the road and ignore that the real problem is that they need to raise rates, but I don't think they're going to do so. I think mid-2016 at the soonest is the way I see it right now.
All right, Bubba, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Danielle.
And thanks for watching this edition of the Kitco Gold Report. We'll see you tomorrow.
And of course, that was me with Kitco, and love Daniela. She's great, and she does a good job as well, and the whole organization. And You know, we are going to continue to do more webinars with Kitco on how to better trade the precious metal space, because again, we like it, but we like to do things that can take you and take you out of harm's way. And I think that's the more important message, is how can I get my friends, my listeners, out of harm's way when they want to trade items? Because again, I have no problem. I'm in the market all the time. I'm never out. Okay, I always got some position on in the market, and I want you to be able to do the same thing. But the only way to do that is by having yourself set up in such a way that you can protect yourself from the downside or the devastation of what can happen. And it doesn't matter whether you're looking at metals or grains or whatever. They happen everywhere. This is not a new story, okay? This is the same old story. And what we have to do is we have to protect ourselves from the same old story, because, again, I don't want my friends going down the primrose path of destruction once again and go, oh, my God, what happened? Okay? Because there's no reason for us to have that problem. Because at the end of the day, there's ways that you can protect your portfolio and protect your precious metals and protect everything without having that problem. So why go through it? Doesn't make sense to me. What about to you? If I could show you a way that you wouldn't have to do that, wouldn't that be worth it? Okay. I would think that you would say, my God, let me get to that guy right now. Okay. Because again, I can and am willing to share with you those ideas that will keep you in a protected mode for the rest of your life. Okay? Now, isn't that something? Wouldn't you like to enhance yield? Potentially. Protect yourself, certainly, from the downside, and yet always be in the market? Aren't you tired of trying to figure out what to sell, when to sell, and how to do it? Well, again, if you go to BubbaTrading.com, or if you email me at Bubba@thebubbashow.org, we have a new class. We've been running them, and they are spectacular. We are getting rave reviews, and this is not something that is out there. We're just handpicking groups of people. We've got two different types, depending on your budget and what you want to do, but they're both extremely affordable. But again, the only way you can get them is to reach out to me. You won't see it in a newsletter. You won't see it advertised, because again, I like to pick and choose who I want to bring apart. Okay. And that is, and certainly my listeners, I want you guys to be first as well, which is why this has only been so far for what we'll call the friends and family type of people. Okay, because the only people that have been able to participate so far, and they're all making money, and the markets have been going down, but they've only been able to participate because I chose to allow them to participate. And if you're a Bubba Show listener, I will choose to allow you as well. But again, you have to reach out to me to get the details. They are published nowhere and only come from me directly, because that's what I want to do. I don't want a big amount of people. I want to help my friends, my people. So, you know, go to BubbaTrading.com. It'll take you right to the Bubba Show, and you can check it out. And certainly, if you can always email me, because as you know, I am always here to help you, because at the end of the day, life is about money, because without it, you can't enjoy a lot of the finer things. So you can be happy, but if you're happy to begin with, you'll be a lot happier with a few extra dollars in your pocket, knowing that you're protected and knowing that you can sleep at night. And speaking of sleeping at night, it is time to say good day, good night. And we will see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Make sure you check out the On Demand at LibertyTalk.fm, as well as download that Bubba Show app at iPhones or at iTunes and at Android. Should be a part of everybody's cell phone, so you can listen to Bubba holler all day long. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you so much. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Orr, which we'll see you next time, same station. Have a great one. Thank you so much.
Your everlasting summer, you can see it.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.